I fired the team. I needed to seek out some things. And some of the clarity I got when I was there is I was like, I don't need a team. I need a group. The ones I do turn away is if it's just a complete show and I do not want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I would rather not.
Yeah. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back to the studio. Today's guest is not your average real estate agent. He's a Florida powerhouse, a content machine, and an agent mentor. Welcome to the studio, Tom Tillier.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
We've been talking about this day for well before the podcast even started.
That's right. And just to give the audience a little bit of context, we know each other from your days here in Michigan.
Yeah.
But you're actually out in Florida right now.
I am. I'm in Tampa area.
Yes, that's awesome. You're killing it in the real estate industry and mentoring.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. In all aspects. You know, I tell people all the time, so it's weird to be back here in Clarkston, right in our home base. This office was, obviously, we have history here.
Yes.
But 5 years of building a real estate business here in Michigan. And then once, you know, 3 to 5 years is really what you need. And once it got going really well, I decided to get up and just start all over again. That was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
so. I like a fresh start. Yeah, I love a fresh start. It's a great fun. Reset.
It was a big risk because you go, you know, we went to Tampa and with the intention of doing real estate, which we are, my wife doesn't work and she manages the kids. I mean, that's enough work.
Right? Yeah, you have a huge family.
But it was a lot of risk. And 3 years ago, almost exactly, July, this end of this month will be 3 years. And we managed to restart our business completely. We've done better than we've ever have.
It's amazing. I know you're killing it out there because I watch all your content. And we keep in touch. But just to give the audience a little bit of context, this was actually your space before I took it over and you shifted out. You shifted from brick and mortar to revamping kind of your strategy.
Yep.
And transitioned out of here. And it was unique how we met because I was actually like in a legal situation with my other space on the south end of Main Street here in town.
Yeah.
And so that was a unique space. It was only 330 square feet, but the building itself was completely outdated. And much like you, I took things into my own hands and remodeled, right?
Yeah.
On my dime. And so I'm a great tenant. I was a great tenant down there and revamped the space and put on a fresh coat of paint and changed it up a bit. And then my business grew substantially and I needed a bigger space. And as I was looking for a bigger space, the space across the hall from me was vacant, I noticed, and I was looking to take that over. Long story short with that, I end up in a $64,000 lawsuit with the landlord there who happened to be an attorney. And that prompted him to list the open space on Craigslist. My attorney had me check on Craigslist to see if he listed the space. Your space, this space actually, was listed right under that space. That's really how I found you.
I don't really recall listing it on Craigslist, but I do know we were trying to find a tenant. We were transitioning out of this office space. But overall, this space never looked like this. This is amazing.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And it was funny too, because I was like, I could hear the hallelujah chorus singing when I saw the pictures of the place, because the bigger space, the larger space down at the other building on the south end here needed, it was like a monster. It was huge. That space was enormous and it needed everything needed to be redone.
Yeah.
And so I was going to do floors and all that stuff. And I was like, oh man, I mean, I was buried under, things got really heated between he and I down there, and the $64,000 lawsuit was obnoxious. It was ridiculous. And so, you really met me. We met really when I was in the weeds and, with all that stuff. And then, I contacted you, came down here and looked, and I was like, wow, kind of, you know, it speaks to going through adversity. Like you can't, you always come out on the other side. And for some odd reason, when something really bad comes my way, there's something even greater on the other side. And it was you. And it was amazing.
It's a great full circle moment. I mean, I know this is the Inner Circle podcast.
Yes.
Full circle for sure for me sitting here right now with you. It's wild.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's so good. And then that began our friendship. And then, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you transitioned from Michigan to Florida, which is initially you were born in Florida.
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Born in Fort Myers. My mom kind of got up and left Florida with me when I was about two and came to Michigan. Grew up in Warren. So I'm a Michigan born in, well, I can't say born and raised Michigan, born Florida, raised Michigan.
Right.
And now back to Florida. But it took me like another 48 years to get back to Florida.
Another full circle moment.
Another full circle moment.
Yeah.
And being on the west coast of Florida, it's nice. It's been a great move for us. Like, it was a well-calculated move, risky, challenging. A lot of people that want to do it never do it. And we just decided to do it.
It's awesome. And you have the support of an amazing wife. You guys have been married for how many years now?
18.
18 years. And you guys have how many kids together?
Well, we have five kids.
Five kids.
Yeah. So my two oldest are from my first marriage.
Yeah.
And then we had three more. So our three are 17, almost 16, almost 16. So twin 16-year-old girls. Our oldest two were here for that reason.
Right.
Reed, so my wife has been in their life since they were 2.5 and 5. Reed was 2.5, and this weekend he got married.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. And so, your boy, actually, he does some videography work. I've seen some of his stuff on social media. I was pretty impressed. You have a talented roster over there, Team Tillier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Reed's really talented. He's not in the business right now.
Yeah.
But he's really talented. He's a great photographer, videographer, drone pilot. Like he's got a lot of skills outside of that too.
Yeah.
For being 22 years old, he's extremely talented.
That is so cool. And congratulations to Reed on the nuptials.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, they've been together since they were 15.
That's awesome.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And who does that nowadays?
Exactly.
And that just goes to show you what kind of person he is. And she is,
yeah, absolutely. Well, he's got a great mentor.
Yeah,
that's keep it in the family.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. It was a nice weekend. Nice wedding. Beautiful wedding. Perfect wedding.
What was the venue?
Right here at her parents. Her parents have a property here.
Okay.
And here's another full circle moment. So, her mom was on my real estate team when this office opened.
No way.
And her dad helped me lay this floor.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
No way.
That is too cool. Yeah, and then we were at their property, which is some acreage over by, what's that golf course? Shepherd's Hollow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over there. They have some acreage, nice pond-like, lake-like setting. They transformed it into a wedding venue.
That's amazing. That's more proof positive that we're all connected in one way.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah, it's wild. I love when stuff like that happens. Synchronicities.
Yeah.
And you actually served in the Navy.
I did.
Yeah. Walk me through the Navy.
Navy. Well, you know, being an 18-year-old guy and you kind of don't know where you're going to go, what you're going to do. Hockey player. It was just one day after, you know, maybe my dad and I didn't agree on a couple things here and there. And my mom and I, maybe the same. And I just decided to go up and join the Navy. And that was it. And I didn't really know what I was getting into. I told him I needed to be something technical or else I'm not going to join.
Yeah.
And so they pulled up my scores, which I didn't take serious at the time when they have you do that in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And my scores were good. And so I was a gas turbine electronics tech for what it's worth. So once I got in the Navy, I was always at sea. Some of my most valuable relationships are from the Navy. Lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Forever. And yeah, the Navy was a really good experience. Without the Navy, I wouldn't be who I am today because I grew up so much in 4 years that it's hard to even quantify what that would have looked like. Even when I got out of the Navy, I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, you're getting those moments of and that's what I've been telling Reed, my 22-year-old, right? I'm like, you're 22. You don't know where life's going to take you yet.
Right.
It just go with the flow because it will land you where you need to be if you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was like. You know, get out of the Navy, don't have a dollar to my name, basically. My buddy Matt had a house that he rented that we were going to chip in on. My buddy Brian also got out of the Navy. We joined him at this house in Clinton Township, and we had no way to pay the bills. And we started putting in fences. Like, it was kind of crazy. And until about 3 months later, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And got into car sales, and there it goes. Yeah, it's a wild story from there.
Well, you are a great community builder, and you love connecting people.
I do.
It's like you can't not do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're born to do that stuff. So, like, we were just talking a little bit off camera before we got rolling, and your connections with this building, this space, and the people in it. You put the landlord and the photographer in the studio next to me together. Talk a little bit about that connection.
Yeah, that was wild. So I knew Kevin, the owner of Windship Photography, and the building. And I knew that he was looking to get out of the business. He was just kind of done with this photography business. And that Windship Studios has been around for a long time.
Yeah, yep.
And then I knew John Ransom from a different circle.
Yeah.
And together, I knew that he wanted to get in, you know, take his photography more serious because he was kind of doing it part-time at the time. And so I just connected those dots.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's go to lunch. And kind of brokered a deal without brokering a deal.
Yeah. You know, there was Were you even involved doing that at that time?
No.
Did you have Team Tillier?
Zero to do with that.
Okay.
I mean, I think I did. I was in real estate, but it wasn't about
part of that, right?
It was zero to do with any of that. Yeah. It was just, I knew two people.
Yeah.
Put them together, and now John's still here, and he's rocking it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, everyone circles back to Tom. You know what I mean?
Wild.
It's like you're the hub.
Yeah.
The community connector.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe. I don't want to give myself that much credit.
Wow. I mean, just organically, you're great at connecting people, and everyone seems to know you. So you're great at, you're like the triple threat. You're great with content. You're great with sales. You're great with people. You know what I mean?
Well, thanks.
It's good. Yeah.
Thanks. Hopefully more people say that about me.
I'm sure. Well, Florida, I mean, lucky to have you getting out there, and you do the higher end real estate out there, but I'm sure there isn't anything you don't touch, you know?
There are things that I don't touch.
Okay.
We are a luxury real estate agent, so we do higher end. I had friends of mine recently come from Clarkson, and it was like a $350,000 condo. So we do everything. And I say $350,000 like it's nothing. That was my average price point here.
Okay.
Yeah. When I sold, that was my average price point.
Yeah.
But there, the cost of living and the homes are more expensive. So we see ourselves in the 300 to, you know, million for everyday transactions. But we do plenty in the millions. You know, we have a $4.5 million pending right now. So we do the higher end. And we don't turn away. It's all real estate. It's all related.
Right.
The ones I do turn away is if it's just a complete show and I do not want to deal with it.
Yeah.
I would rather not.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of stress to take on and a waste of time.
I'd rather not. For a $200,000 beat up, dilapidated house that has a hole in the roof, I just don't have time for it.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of agents and a lot of investors that do.
Yeah.
And that's just not my wheelhouse.
Right.
So
I love it. So what does your business model look like right now? Are you an army of one, or do you have a team with you?
Interesting question. I always have had a team kind of surrounding me. However, more of an army of one right now. And it's because I fired the team. They're all still with me, but I kind of pseudo fired them. What happens last October, hurricanes came through Florida. Or last August, September. Last October, there was a conference for EXP, for the brokerage I'm at, in Miami. So I went to Miami I needed to seek out some things. And some of the clarity I got when I was there is I was like, I don't need a team. I need a group. So I created this thing called the Lion's Den. And the Lion's Den is a group of like-minded real estate agents that are connected in our brokerage. Mm-hmm. That all collaborate, and we meet, and we have a community. We offer resources, we offer recognition, and offer community. So those three things together create what would be a pseudo team. Mm-hmm. But see, a team model takes a split from everybody when they sell something. So I also have to pay for a lot of things for them.
Right.
Right, for a team model. I'm paying for business cards and software and all these things.
Yeah.
And I just didn't need to do either of those. Yeah. I don't need your money, and I don't need to pay for everything for you, but I do want the collaboration. So we created the Lion's Den. So the Lion's Den is nothing more than just a group of agents that really want to help each other within the organization. And that's where I fired them too, right? I took Fidel, no more team. I'm not going to take any money.
Yeah.
let's put you on the Lions Den.
Yeah.
Darren. And all the people that I was associated with, we built this group and this community, and it's working out really well.
It's like a collaborative of independents.
Yeah.
At that point, right.
Yeah, and where nobody's benefiting from anybody.
Right.
Right? It's
But collectively.
It's, collectively, we're a better group. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's nice. Everybody, it's not so much pressure for anybody. Everybody's happy. We meet every Wednesday at 9 in the morning and go over and we, you know, mastermind and...
Yeah, that's always, awesome. You're a great motivator too, and I'm sure if they're in your circle, they are too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because you know you are that old saying: you are the amalgamation of the five people you spend the most time with.
Yeah,
and you're no dummy. So well, you know what I mean. I'm sure you're surrounding yourself with top tier folks.
Yeah, the group is interesting because EXP's model is a downline model, right? And it's built on collaboration, a downline and upline. So the people above me are YouTube specialists, and I purposely position myself with them so they can help me.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the people under me get lots of help from me, plus they benefit from the YouTube specialist.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's a collaboration model anyway, but I never thought of it that way. I was always like, let's have a team and let's take a commission split from everybody. And, you know, and let's get them to do it. I just got away from that.
Yeah.
Started focusing on ourselves, started focusing on the group. And the group's been really good for us.
Well, that's smart. And I think I found for myself, like if I take a step back and I look at situations, it's more about what makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like I started looking at things like, okay, this sounds great, but does it make sense? And does everybody win? You know,
or what causes less stress?
Exactly. It comes down to that.
Get rid of the stress.
Yeah.
Let me worry about me.
Exactly.
That's all I want to do.
Now you got that great weather down there. Well, I mean, it's not always great down there in Florida.
Always great down there.
My folks are down there, but I know that you've got hurricane season and whatnot that comes through, and my folks are usually here when that they've just it times out that way. Somehow they're always here at their Michigan house when that's going down. So they're pretty blessed to kind of avoid all that. But outside of that, you've got some great weather down there, and it's gotta be nice. I know you like to ruck. For wellness practices and, you know, clear your head and all that stuff. What else are you doing down there in that great weather?
You know, we did more in the first 12 months that we moved there as a family than we did in the previous 12 years.
Wow.
And the last 2 years have been more of an adjustment to, hey, we actually live here and we work here and we have to make money and we have to survive.
Yeah.
But the first 12 months, we went crazy. We just went everywhere, but we still do a lot. We still do more than we ever did here, period. And it's not a rip on here. It's more of on us. We're not snow skiers. Mm-hmm. We always liked the hiking. We always liked the trails. We always liked exploring, going up to Mackinac, Traverse, stuff like that. We always liked that. Where we live, we're an hour from any of the beaches. In the major beaches, everything from Siesta Key to Venice to Clearwater, it takes us an hour because of how the roads travel.
Yeah.
It's an hour no matter what, about an hour. Okay. And so I always tell people in 1 hour, I can be on vacation and a Caribbean vacation.
Yeah.
And then I go another hour and I'm back home in my own bed.
That is too cool.
Yeah. That's really cool. But the everyday activity is the kids and my wife, they're on bikes. They jump on the bikes, and our neighborhood has 28 miles of trails. And they just get up and go. I'm like, where did everybody go?
Right.
And they're on the bikes.
Yeah.
Between biking, rucking, walking, hiking, state parks, Universal Studios.
Yeah.
We like doing that. We do that a lot. Went to the new Epic. That was cool. Just the springs. There's lots of springs, lots of kayaking. Of course, the beaches. You know, with all of that said, there's always something to do. And actually, it's to the point of sometimes I just want to turn off the sun and make a rainy day and shut the blinds and turn the AC colder and watch Netflix. Like sometimes I just want that. I'm like, come on, shut off.
I get it.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Yeah.
It's not often that I say that, but sometimes I do.
I get chatting with my folks down there. I'll check in with them. And my mom will say kind of the same thing. And she's like, it's so hot down here. Or they'll give me the weather report, you know, and I'm just like, wow. It's usually cooking down there, but they kind of, you know, after a while, like the beach thing kind of wears off like it did for them. Mm. When I come to visit, naturally, I'm going to the beach because like I don't have access like I do you know, that's fun for me. But yeah, I can imagine, like, it's your daily life. So like every day isn't a vacation because you are working, right?
Yeah. It feels like it sometimes. The heat. Yes, the heat. So I, even on a cool day, I sweat walking to the car.
Yeah.
Right. So I've learned to wear certain clothes, wear certain undershirts underneath, like a polo.
Yeah.
I've learned what I can do.
Yep.
And I'm always walking around slightly damp.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm used to it now.
I love that. I love that you just said that, because I just got back from a trip in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And I packed all like that dry fit material.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, I didn't wear a shirt almost the whole time just because it's so hot. And I was like, gosh, that's probably, if I lived in Florida, I'd have to wear all dry fit stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool now, because like, even if you're a businessman like yourself, like they make the attire is so flexible now. You know what I mean?
Oh, all of it. These pants.
Yeah.
These pants. These are a performance pant.
Yes.
From Johnson Murphy, you know, everything. I pay attention to all of that.
Yeah,
you know, the suits, the pants, the blazers, you know, everything from polos to undergarments.
Gotta have it vented. Gotta have.
Yeah,
gotta
it's wild. Cool.
Yeah,
it is wild. But you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't
change
it. It's
you're thriving down there though.
Yeah, I think it's been amazing. Awesome. Our kids are thriving. My wife's thriving. She's the type that's always cold.
Yeah,
she could get out of a hot tub here when we had it in Clarkston, and she could be cold. You know,
yeah,
like immediately. And so she's always cold. So you'll see my wife and my kids have hoodies on. It's 9 degrees out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
You know,
that's my folks.
Yeah.
My folks are like that.
But yeah, the weather, I'm not, you know, we'll have the storm season like we have. And we've been hit pretty hard since we've been there.
Yeah.
Not us physically, like we are, our house has always been good. It's a cinder block construction, so it doesn't even feel like anything's happening outside.
Right.
But between three hurricanes and a major tropical storm in 3 years, yeah, we had a little bit of a run with it, because it's not typical.
Yeah.
It's just a lot lately.
Right. But you know what? I've known you for so long, and we stay in touch, and I watch your social media. You are not one to complain, like even on like the worst of the storms, like when they hit. You know, I'm not down there often, but when I go, sometimes it's after one of the storms, and I'll drive around with my folks, and they'll show me all the damage, and you know, they don't complain either. Yeah. You know what I
mean?
What
does complaining get you?
No, I mean, like, those are it is what it is. Those are the circumstances.
Yeah.
But
what does
like,
it get you?
If
you go through your whole life complaining about things, you have, I don't know. I have a problem with people that do complain.
Yeah,
that's probably a downfall of mine. I just have very low tolerance for it.
That's good though. It makes you a good leader.
Yeah, you can change. You can change whatever you want to change.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not happy with anything.
If you're not happy with the weather here in Michigan, move to Florida.
Yeah. If you're not happy,
you know, people don't like the seasons. You know, people complain about the snow here all the time, and it's like, is it your first day in Michigan? Because we get it every year. We get all the seasons, but it's always the complainers are the ones that are like born and raised here.
Yeah,
it's like, this is what it is.
Well, it's weird because you go to the Northeast and like the Bostonians and people in the true Northeast. I see them jumping off. You know, when I was traveling for a living,
yeah,
they would get off subways. They'd walk through, you know, 5 degree windstorms, and they'd get in their apartment, get dressed, and walk to the local bar or restaurant, and no complaints.
Right.
For some reason, Michigan, we're always complaining.
Yes.
And it's really wild. And I saw it this week. It was too cold last week, or the week before. It was too cold. Oh my gosh, when's it going to get nice? And now, oh my gosh, it's too hot. We're staying inside. Like, I'm staying inside because it's too cold. Now I'm staying inside because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's wild. So I actually had to use AI to say, tell me the difference between 95 degrees in Michigan and 95 degrees in Florida. Like, why is it different?
Yeah.
And I broke it down. It basically, dew point, humidity. I get that. And that could be argued because we're both humid. Okay. But one thing it said right from AI, when you go from 60 degrees one day to 95 the next, it's hard to adjust.
Yeah.
You know, Florida people are more acclimated to it being warmer all the time. So the next warm day doesn't really affect you. Like, like that.
Right.
Yeah, where everybody's always complaining here. I don't know why that is.
I notice when my folks come in from out of town, they'll a lot of time for the first few years, it would be a 2 week max because they were too cold.
Oh, that's funny. It was too cold in the summer
because that's when they would come was during the summer block, and it was supposed to be initially when they went down to Florida, it was supposed to be half on, half off, right? Yeah. And it slowly turned into like they come for 2 weeks, but now it's progressed. Like they'll stay, like they'll come in, I want to say they'll come in around July and stay through September, October, and then they go back. But
yeah, I see us doing that in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the future, we see my whole thing is in 3.5 years or 3 years, our girls will be up and graduated high school.
Yeah.
Those are our two youngest. So we'll have my daughter's in West Virginia. Reed's here. That's Avery. Reed's here. And then we have three going into college.
Wow.
And we're assuming they're going to Florida colleges.
Okay.
But we don't know.
Right.
So in 3 years... And then there'll be grandkids along the way. And, you know, let's face it, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so in 3 years, I need to be in a position where I can travel. And who knows where we'll end up, right? If Brayden ends up moving here or the girls end up moving here or something, we might need that place, you know?
Right.
A secondary place in Michigan if a couple of our or a few of our kids are here.
Yeah.
Right now we got Reed and Justice, who just got married. But we don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
But I can see it happening.
Yeah. But you know how to pivot. You're good. Like, I think it's awesome that you, you know, it was a risk and you weren't sure what was going to come of you heading out to Florida, but it turned out for the better. And that's huge.
Yeah. Just relying on YouTube and relying on referrals from other agents.
Yeah.
You know,
you're thriving. The business is thriving.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. There's been some peaks and valleys, and especially last October. Last October, when the hurricanes come through, people stop buying and people stop selling.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. And then everybody quickly in about a month gets amnesia and they forgot it happened. And they're back at the beach. They're back at the beaches. And they're like,
I say that all the time. That's hilarious.
Where's my pina colada?
Sudden onset amnesia. Yeah. That's what I call it.
Yep. Oops. Yes. Forgot about that. That happened. And now we're back in hurricane season again. So we're hoping for a lighter season.
I need to come down to Florida and open up a studio down there, the YouTube podcast studio. Need to start franchising, like branching out here. Because you're a great content creator. I love watching your content. You're so smart with all that stuff. It'd have been great. Like, had you stayed here, I'd have had you partnering up with me.
I would have linked up
with you for sure. Yes.
I would have. At one point, we were talking about how to get it all set up. And there's no way I could have done what you did here. Right.
Oh man.
This is just beyond me.
I appreciate that. It was fun for me. Like when I came into the space, it was like kind of, it was already my organic style, bringing in all my stuff, my gas pumps. I had that big gas pump. Yeah. Remember some of that stuff's in storage.
I mean, you did bring in palm trees for me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be I got the Florida set, whatever set you need. I can get a snow machine in here.
Yeah. There is a lack of podcast space in our area.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lack of podcast space.
I might be in the market for some real estate then.
There you go.
I've got a good agent. You know, I just had Antonio Sabato Jr. on the podcast, and he's got a celebrity boxing match coming up. And we stay in touch, and you had posted up on social media. You were doing some business in a building and had a run-in with him.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, I think that's hilarious. Again, all
connected. It's really wild. Too tightly woven, right?
Yeah.
This everybody we know,
yes.
You know, and it just kind of all connected. But he, I didn't know much about him. I like him, you know. I knew that he was, I think, in Melrose Place or something like that. But I didn't know a ton about his background, to be honest. But I did know that he was involved in Aura. Aura is this big, unbelievable hotel condo development with banquet facilities and conference rooms or conference space. And that is happening downtown Tampa, close to the Riverwalk. So I went in there to get a tour, and he was there. So I got to meet him and chatted with him a little bit because he's kind of involved on the developer side.
Okay.
Like the celebrity sales guy, because there's a lot of high end people coming in here. And so he's involved.
You know what I noticed too, is that a lot of people, a lot of celebrities have kind of vacated like Hollywood, LA, and Florida Nashville, Florida is like the place to be for folks. Michigan.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, I get it. I totally get it. But like, I didn't realize how many though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I kind of disconnected from all that. So when I started on my business in 2016, I had already started gradually like disconnecting from media and like television per se. Mm-hmm. Like I got away from TV, cable, all that stuff, and I gravitated towards YouTube because again, like when you and I connected, I was kind of in the weeds with a lot of stuff. I had like every curveball you could think of starting up a business came my way. And I was just an army of one. So I was looking for leadership, inspiration, and any way I could get that. And I was found my way to YouTube. Mm-hmm. So like that was it for me.
There's some crazy stats out there. Did you know that YouTube, I want to say it's double, might even be triple. We'd have to look it up offline, but has more watch time, double or triple, on a daily basis than Netflix?
I'm not shocked. That's my mode. Like I have a television in my house,
yeah.
But YouTube is what I have.
Yeah.
So I watch everything through that, and it's, you have more control over really what's coming onto your television. You know what I mean? And so if it's not inspirational or motivational, it's not on my, it's not on TV, yeah, on my TV.
Well, in 2016, I sat at Google, Palo Alto, and I was in a room called the YouTube room, and they talked about the cat videos and how that was the very first YouTube sensation. And so they're joking about the cat videos and whatnot. He said, but in all reality, in 5 years, that was 2021, the video will take up 80% of the internet by 2021.
I'm not shocked.
And at the time we were like, what? You're crazy, right? That was in 2016. And then by 2021, sure enough, we're probably right there.
Okay.
And now we're in 2025. Mm-hmm. We're 90% of the internet.
Right. I mean,
video takes up 90%. If you're not on video, if you're not doing something on video, you got to check your business.
Yeah. That's funny because it was 2016. It was prior to 2016 when I really started disconnecting from that stuff. It was started out as a challenge to see if I could not like watch TV for 90 days or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, life's really peaceful without it. And then like, just to get rid of like cable and that extra expense, you know, and as my life transitioned, I had a ton of transition when I started my business. So I was doing anything really to see like, what did I need in my life and what didn't I? And like, I was able to cut tons of costs just by observation and a self audit.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing to go. Like, so back to our conversation about like the celebrities and everyone kind of gravitating out of Hollywood into these new locations. I had no idea who was who anymore. Like if your name wasn't Heather Locklear, I didn't know who you were. I kind of disconnected from celebrities. So like if you weren't from like our age, from our generation, no, I had no idea. So and then just kind of no connection to social media from 2016 till I eventually reconnected for my business. Like you said, if you're not on social media, that's a great way to connect. And
yeah, you have to do business. Unfortunately, you have to be.
I take my breaks. Like I'm just about to, I was taking another Facebook hiatus, and like 3 months turned into 7 months. And so I'm slowly trying to get back on there because I have other business initiatives that I'll be, you know, promoting and things like that. And social media is a great place to connect. You know, it has its ups and downs. And as long as you don't get caught up in the toxicity and the negative space that it can sometimes be created by others, you know.
Yeah. Well, I it's simple.
Yeah.
Really, it is simple. You can block the negativity.
Of course.
And whenever I see somebody that posts too many political posts.
Mm-hmm. Same.
They're done. Yep. Right. I don't take negativity. I don't like the people that get on and cuss out their spouse or something.
Right.
I don't like any of that. Social media can be governed by you to make it usable for you. And that's kind of what that's what I do.
Because, I do it too. Customize your social media.
I don't have time for that.
Right.
You know, but then again, it's really wild when you have certain people that you know, like my dad. He doesn't have Facebook because he chooses not to, but that's where he could keep up with us better if he did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like just pick 5 friends, right? Yeah. You can see everything. You know, it's so much easier when I put it out there and they can see it.
Yeah.
You know.
I get both sides of it, and it prompts you to stay in touch with people in a different way if you don't have it.
Yeah.
And it kind of tells you who's, you know, who's able to keep up with you and who's not. My folks, my family doesn't have it. And that's my brother doesn't have it. And they're all down in Florida together.
Yeah.
So like I'm out of their loop and they're out of mine. And so usually,
wild.
I know it's really weird. And so like usually,
so like, I thought you would have known this.
Right.
And you're like, I mean, I don't know this.
They'll know things through other family members that follow my social media. And they'll like report back to them. And my mom will call me up and be like, is this true? I'm like, yes. Heather Locklear was on my podcast. You something like that. They'll always say something.
Because I don't have time to pick up on the phone and call you about
right.
it, you know, nor would I. But when you see it on social media.
Yes.
Yeah. So that makes it a little difficult. I think everybody needs to have it in some capacity.
Right. I just go through my ebbs and flows with it. And so, you know, I've been growing my YouTube channel for the podcast and the studio, and that's been fun for me. And I like singular focus. That's why I took a break from Facebook, so I could just, because there's so many outlets now. There's mm-hmm. so many social media platforms. I don't even know all the names of them, but I was just trying to keep it simple for myself because I run all that stuff on my own. Like I don't have a team running all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. So I like that singular focus. And I'll just disconnect from other things so I can focus on, you know, the main goal
mm-hmm.
and then reconnect later with the others.
Yeah. Sometimes subtraction equals multiplication.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I like that.
You have to get rid of it to multiply.
Yep.
And I like the podcast. You asked me about the one I do. I love the podcast we were doing. And I just don't have the time for it right now.
It's a lot, but you're great with content. Like you have a great voice and a great presence. That's why I was like, if you were here in Michigan, we'd be doing stuff together.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. But most of the podcasts that I'm doing are all online.
Yeah.
And they're with other agents across the country and that have best practices, you
right.
know, kind of agents sharing with agents. And it works well. And it's fun to do. And I always learn something from it.
Yeah.
But trying to get people to come on is always a challenge.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I was finding myself on a Friday morning going, I don't have a guest this morning. And so I just was like, I need to do it again. But we're so focused on our core business, and our core business is YouTube.
Yeah.
And then we're working on our social media presence, which we have a good one, but with Instagram and whatnot, but all the reels, we hired a new editor. So I can just, and we're hyper focused on creating that content now to ship to the editor, and the editor can slice and dice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've tried all the tools, know all the tricks.
Yeah.
But need an editor at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. I've got an editor for sure. Yeah. But just the social media handles, like I do those myself.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's I've had no problem with guests because I've been in my field, in the mental health field, for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's no shortage of people that I know. Like mm-hmm. I always connect mm-hmm. with good people. And I don't know. We're probably very similar in the way that, like, when you make a connection with someone, even if it was 20 years ago, you get back together and
yeah.
it's like you never stopped talking kind of deal.
Yeah.
So that's always been a blessing for me. So I've been really lucky and fortunate to have amazing guests on the show that I respect and admire. So, I mean, present company included, of course.
Thanks.
And, you know, it's been great. So I love bringing people into the studio and sharing their founder story. And I know anybody that's achieved the amount of success like you have has faced adversity. What's a good story you can share of overcoming some adversity while going through the business process?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh gosh. I mean, I don't even know where to start because there's so many.
Yeah.
In real estate, they call it the real estate roller coaster. Okay. Because you're rich, you're poor, you're rich, you're poor. And the reason is because you stopped doing the daily activities that got you to be successful. So you're so busy getting the business, and then you're so busy managing the business, you forgot to get the business again. Okay, so you take these cycles. So once you even that out, and I've been through that cycle 20 times.
Yeah.
Right? I think I've learned now that I'm past it. Okay. But that's adversity.
Yeah.
That alone is adversity. Starting the business over was obviously a major thing because I had to rely on the people that I collaborate with for YouTube. And I had to rely on those agent referrals that mm-hmm. I told you about. Okay. And I just had to rely on myself. And when you have adversity, adversity could mean a whole lot of things. Even the last October, the hurricanes, people stop buying, people stop selling when the hurricanes come, period. And it gets, there's so, I guess the business itself is loaded with adversity.
Yeah.
And the people that really do well in it figure out how to overcome those daily challenges. Mm-hmm. And those daily challenges are no joke.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to manage everything.
Yep.
And sometimes you let the major things slip because you're focused on the wrong things. I could talk all day about that and the challenges in real estate. But consistency is the key. And once you get your core foundation of what you do and you stay consistent with it, then the business will thrive.
I love that. And I love that you said you had to rely on yourself, because I get it. Like when I started up my business, I had to rely on myself. And at the end of the day, it's amazing to have support. If you have that, mm-hmm. it's awesome. I went through ebbs and flows of not having it when I started up. So it mm-hmm. was like you said, kind of every day is adversity. You know what I mean? It's so broad, but I mean, like usually there's significant challenges or hurdles, like starting over your business. That's a great example. But like for me, working in the mental health field too, like every day is adversity, really. Like on some level, and as a business owner and an entrepreneur, it's really hard to shut it off. Like you are really 24/7 working.
That's an interesting segue into something though. So on Wednesday before we came here, we went to St. Pete Beach. Mm-hmm. The girls wanted to go on the weekend. And I couldn't because I had a couple appointments that popped up, that literally popped up on Friday and Saturday for a Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, this is nuts, right? I just wanted a weekend to myself before we go travel. And so I told the girls, I said, we'll go Wednesday. And it took really everything I had to shut it off. But I did. I did. And I talked through it with my wife. I was like, feeling uneasy about playing hooky today.
Yeah.
You know, but we did. And that's the definition of a good entrepreneur. When you can identify it, shut it off, make adjustments and go, okay, this is tough for me to be off today. I feel like I'm doing something wrong. I work for myself, but you shut it off, have a good time, and you go back to work the next day and you're like, nothing ever happened.
I love that. Those are great words of wisdom for anybody starting up in the entrepreneurial space, because that took me a long time to get there. So like, I love going on in life with more experience, mm-hmm. getting older per se.
Yeah.
And so, because those key points of life start to make sense. You know what I mean? When you can learn to shut it off. Like I just went on a great retreat in Costa Rica and I had to shut it off. You know, because we would do certain like excursions and activities, and I went on this retreat, but it wasn't a vacation by any means. Like, you're up at 5 a.m. every day, like you're in a group, you're journaling, you're talking about this, that, you know, and the other, and you're rucking, like you're going on hikes and you're surfing and you're doing all these, you know, all these fun things, and you have to disconnect, right? Like no phone, no social media. And I love that, because if I can have any excuse to get away from my phone, I'm in. But when you first start up, it's glued to you. You know what I mean? And it takes years. Like, you have to train yourself to untrain yourself.
It's crazy. Absolutely years.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's but keep working. I still work at it every day.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give yourself permission to do what you want to do when you want to do it, especially if you're self-employed.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. And it's great to be in that headspace though. It's like, it's freeing, you know what I mean? To kind of understand it. And I go through the ebbs and flows of it too, because you have to keep, when you're keeping up on your content and it's part of your business, mm-hmm. They go hand in hand, literally.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the phone in the hand.
A lot of agents are like, well, I don't want to be told when to go to work. I don't want to be an agent. I don't want to be an agent because I don't want to work every weekend and work every night and be on the client and on call for the client. Right. Like, hey, I need you to come do this. You don't have to do that in this business.
Yeah.
You can say no.
Right.
It's your schedule.
Right.
You can set it like a lawyer, like a professional, where you, these are my hours, these are what I'm willing to do. I'm not willing to drive that far. I'm not willing to go that, you know, it's the desperation that kicks in for people that they start doing things that they normally wouldn't do, then they get burned out and they're out of the business.
Yeah.
So,
and boundary setting.
You have to set your boundaries.
Yes.
You have to, or else you'll fail out of this business in a hurry.
Yeah. Or any business, really. Like, I faced that when I was starting up, because when you're starting up, and I was like a fire start because I was starting, like, I had huge life transitions, and I moved out of my house and split from my ex. I was sleeping on my friend's couch, and then, you know, down on the south end of Main Street on an air mattress in my first office. You know, that was my startup. So it was like one of those deals, and so I had to be self-motivated every day. Like, I slept with my gym shoes on. I'd wake up in the morning, boom, 4 a.m then it turned into 2 a.m and then it was like, if I wasn't working, I was working out, just for the mindset and the motivation and all that stuff. Like, you have to be your, you have to be a self-starter, even if you have support. It doesn't mean you're going to have it forever. Yeah. Anything can happen.
Yep.
You know.
But you also have to give yourself permission to take the foot off the gas.
Yes. Well, that was hard because to the point of doing all of that and being like a self-starter and getting into that, I had to untrain. You know, I had to untrain. Like, I was training so much that I was like, I need to take my foot off the gas. Exactly that. And it was very hard for me to do that over the last couple of years because I was so regimented on that stuff. It's really hard to let go of that, and so I've been able to relax a little more definitely over the past year. So that's been, that's been really good for me. And so, you know,
are you still doing the biohacking?
I was just actually, I was at Dave Asprey's biohacking conference just last month actually, and had a great time. Met Andrea Waters King and Martin Luther King the Third. It was amazing. That's always a five-star event.
Yeah.
I want to say it was in Florida one year. This, now they're kind of shifting more towards Austin, Texas, because that's where Dave is. And so that's always a great group too. Like, it's a, I've been part of that VIP network for going on 5 years, and just the connections and the wellness. Like, I have no, I haven't plotted out like Dave to live to be 180, but I definitely, I subscribe to the wellness practices, you know. I like to do some sauna. I like to do some red light therapy and different things like that. Every now and again, a cold plunge or just a cold shower.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you do that,
though. Yeah. Do you guys have any of those spaces down in Florida? Cause he's got like the upgrade labs. Do you guys have those down there?
Not close to me, but there is a new, a new facility that is opening up, I think, next month.
Okay.
That's got the red lights, cold plunge, the saunas, the everything, and you can pay a membership fee and go as much as you want.
That's awesome.
Or a couple times a week or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. I just turned my place into, well, I have my studio house here in Clarkson, but then I got the north house, and I just kind of turned it into a little mini biohacking pad. Turned the gym, the garage into a gym, and then got a, like a pop-up sauna.
Oh, cool.
And then some red lights, and I just do all that stuff myself because I know how to do it. But yeah, it's
That's
cool
awesome.
To go to those places too if you're into it. But yeah, I've had a great time chatting with you. It's been awesome having you back in town.
It's a big full circle moment for me, for sure. And to be here with you on your podcast in this unbelievable studio, it's pretty amazing.
I appreciate that. It's so good to have you back. You're going to have to come back into town more often so we can podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
To film your content here in the studio.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes.
I'd love to. This is so nice in here. But overall, I mean, that's it. You put your mind to something, just like, that's why I have mutual respect, right? You put your mind to something and you just do it. And that's what, and that's what a lot of people, unfortunately, don't do. A lot of people sit and are complacent, or they're just not motivated enough, or they're afraid of it or something. But sometimes you just live in that complacency. And I like to surround myself with people like you that don't live in that complacency. Always striving to get better. Going to Costa Rica for that, whatever that was. I saw the pictures.
Yeah, the retreat. Yes.
Yeah, a bunch of beastly men.
Yeah. Right?
And
it was a group of 12 of us, all great, all brothers.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I'm friends with all, we're in a chat every day.
Yeah. It's awesome. That was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. Plus all the biohacking and everything.
You should come to one of those retreats. I'm going to send you the link.
yeah, I got to get in a lot better shape than these guys than I am now to compete. Just sit amongst those guys.
Everybody is all shapes and sizes there, man.
I was like holy cow, these guys, do they have a job?
Everybody had a different
24 hours a day.
There were some great guys in the real estate area that lived in Costa Rica, actually, that were part of that too.
Oh, cool.
So great connections. Like everybody was their own, you know, unique blend there. Yeah, I love it. Was pretty cool.
I love that.
And it's so cool getting to sit here with you today. You know, just being here full circle, because I was starting up as we connected. Yeah. So you've kind of seen my evolution the whole time, from the startup of the first business and then the second business and the third.
Yeah.
So, and then the podcast. So that is a full circle moment for me. So I'm happy to have you here, and always a pleasure to talk to you. You're welcome back anytime.
Sweet. Thanks.
Yes, of course.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Always. All right, Tom, where can people find you? What are your social handles?
You know, pretty easy to find me on Instagram. It's Tom Tillier, Tom with an H. So it's TomTillier. That's real easy. I'd say that's probably the easiest way, is to get a hold of me on Instagram or find me on Instagram, because it kind of leads everywhere else. We have YouTube channels. We have multiple Instagram accounts, multiple YouTube channels. We have a lot going on content wise. It's kind of hard to splash it out there.
Yeah.
But again, if somebody just Googles it, you'll find.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, such a pleasure having you in the studio today.
I appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow Tom on all of his handles. That's a wrap.